We're looking at this in a little more detail. A few months ago, we ran through Ephesians quickly, but I wanted to come back and look at it in more detail. So Ephesians chapter 2, one of the things that's happening, just with our schedule, we had quite a few gaps, different things, and so we have only had a few messages from Ephesians the last little while, and I'm sorely tempted to review, but I will resist that temptation. because otherwise we'll just get bogged down. I will read a couple of extra verses with Ephesians 2:10 for this message, and that'll get us started. Beginning in verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Now, we make a big deal about salvation by grace alone because the Bible makes a big deal about salvation by grace alone. These verses here are among the sort of most important verses teaching that doctrine. We keep repeating statements like this: you can't earn salvation. There's nothing you can do to gain God's approval. You can't gain God's approval by being good, however you define good. You can't do that because you still have evil in your life. And God is a just judge, and he will judge the evil in your life. So you cannot outweigh your evil by any amount of good that you try to do. And the fact is, you don't deserve salvation. We'll repeat that in various ways. In fact, Jesus said, "I came not in the world to condemn the world, for the world is already condemned." Okay, when Adam sinned, God said, "Dying, you shall die." We are all under that death sentence, every one of us. And so, consequently, we have in ourselves, we have no hope. Your salvation then doesn't depend on how much effort you put into your faith. It's not like you can, you know, if you just believe a little harder, that somehow that is going to ensure your salvation, because faith is not a work. It's not a thing you do. It's basically just a turn and a change and an asking God, "Save me." And he promises he'll save you based on the work of Christ. We also say your good works have nothing to do with salvation. They do not produce a Christian. You don't become a Christian by doing good works. So, now, having said all that, everyone knows Christians are supposed to be good, right? Christians are supposed to do good things. We also know that Christians don't always do good things. But you ask any person in the world, so anybody who is not a Christian, you ask them, what are Christians supposed to be like? Well, they're supposed to be nice. They're supposed to be gentle. They're supposed to be kind. And then they'll look at you and say, how come you're not? Right? Well, that's true. That's true. So what is the relationship of salvation and good works? That's what our text today, verse 10, is going to answer. And I'm going to give you this proposition. If you are born again, you have a purpose and a path that you should walk on. All right? So if you're born again, you have a purpose and a path. So we're going to start with that verse, and we're going to look. Here's our first point about salvation. God did everything in salvation, and it is good. So our verse, "For we are his workmanship," is pointing back to that bit that we just read before that, verse 9 and verse 8. Salvation by grace, you have been saved by faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So, for the reason then, why is this true? Why is it true that you cannot boast about salvation? Well, because salvation is the gift of God. Salvation removes all grounds of boasting. I cannot boast in anything about myself. Say, well, I am a Christian, and that's because of something I have done, or some maybe my heritage, my parents were Christians. I was born a Christian. We can't boast in our accomplishments. What can we boast in? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who gets all the credit for our salvation. God did everything. And that's what our text says. We are His workmanship. He did the work. It's not anything I did. It's what God did that has saved me. That's why I can be so confident about my salvation. The word here, workmanship, I'm going to give you the Greek word because we have an English word that comes from it. The Greek word is poema. Poema. What does that sound like in English? Anybody want to try? Poem. That's the word we get from this word. Now, a poem is not the same thing as a poema. A poema is a doing, a working. So if I, if I build a piece of furniture, that is a workmanship that I have done. I'm not sure if that's good English. But if you frame up a house, that's workmanship. If you build a car, get all the parts together and put it together, that's workmanship. That's something that is done. The word has to do with the activities of a skilled craftsman. It is not, and that's what the poem is. Somebody, a poem in English is somebody or a product of a mind that is very skilled with words. I mean, if you have a good poem, I guess there's bad poems too, but somebody who really knows how to say a lot with like three words, you can create a poem that way. And you read the works of people like Shakespeare and Tennyson and others who can create images with their very few words, and all of a sudden you have really a lot is said in that poem. The poem itself is a workmanship, a work of art, the product of a skilled craftsman. You can call it a masterpiece, a poema. Okay? So rather than salvation being a masterpiece that we have produced, regenerated believers are a masterpiece that God has produced. That's Tom Constable. That's how he describes it. The product doesn't produce itself. The workman does. In other words, you did not create that beautiful transformation. Jesus called it being born again. You did not do anything to create that being born again. God did it. Charles Hodge on this says, the position of the pronoun at the beginning of the sentence renders it emphatic. His workmanship, we are. That's how the words are ordered in the Greek. They put the word His at the beginning for emphasis. His workmanship, we are. He has made us Christians. Our faith is not of ourselves. It is of God that we are in Christ Jesus. So again, God did everything in our salvation. And the work of God is a new creation. So the word there, created, is used in the New Testament only of God's activity. So it refers to things created, or things physical and spiritual. So, for example, in Colossians 1:16, for by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. So if we go back in time to the very beginning of the universe, when it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, Genesis 1:1, Colossians 1 is talking about that. This is the point at which the Bible reveals that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the second person of the Trinity, is the voice of God's calling those things into existence. We see in Genesis, let there be light, and there was light. And God separated the firmament from above from the firmament below, and He created the atmosphere, created the world, He created the oceans. I'm getting them totally in the wrong order. He created the animals and the fish and everything that dwells on the face of the earth. He planted the plants. He took of the clay of the ground and He formed the first man and breathed into him the breath of life. God, that is what God did, things physical and things spiritual. So creation is God's activity. But here in this verse, He's talking about present believers. We are his workmanship, created. He's not referring to the moment at which we were born or conceived. You want to go back 9 months? He's not referring to that. He is referring to that new act of God when a sinner understands that he's a sinner and cannot save himself, understands he is under the judgment of God, and he turns to God and he says, "Oh Lord Jesus, I see that you are the only solution for my sin. Please forgive me of my sin and turn me into your creature." And that is what has happened. We are created in Christ Jesus. This is a new creation. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:1, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead, God made us alive together with or through Christ. And again, he says there, by grace you have been saved. So this creation then, it has to do with someone who is already created. We have a body, we have a soul, but our spirit and our soul, in terms of our relationship with God, is dead. God has made us alive. That's what happens at salvation. It's not simply following a tradition. It's not simply following the ways of our fathers. It's not simply finding some better path of life so that we can somehow deserve the acceptance of God. No, it is an acknowledgement. I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I call on Jesus to save me. And in that moment, he receives us. We are born again. We have a new creation within us. All right? That's the idea. It is called a new creation in several passages in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. Galatians 6:15. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. It's that being born again. That's the issue. Ephesians 4:24, he says, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Now, there is an issue in that Christians retain their old nature while at the same time being born again. And consequently, Christians still are learning to walk in that newness of life so that they will reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, in terms of their standing before God, they have been created as new creatures and they are fully alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. On the last day of the original creation, God said, "Behold, it was very good." Genesis 1:31. Well, this new creation is very good. God did everything in salvation and it is good. All right, the second thing that we're going to look at then in our verse, God intended for salvation to produce good works. Now this is obvious, but the good works come into salvation this way, through this creation, this new creation. Every created thing has a purpose. The world was created to house all the living things that exist upon it. And you can go into scientific research and understand that the earth is positioned in the ideal spot, the ideal distance from the sun. I realize it varies at different times of the year. It's not exactly a perfect circle. I realize all that. We're not talking about that, but we're exactly at what they call the Goldilocks zone. Everything is perfect for life on earth. It's not perfect in Venus. It's not perfect on Mars, but it's perfect here. Right? It was created for a purpose. The plants and animals were created to enhance and sustain human life. It's perfect for human life. Man was created to walk with God and have dominion over the earth. Even, man's sin has wrecked that creation to a certain extent. The purpose that we were created for, though, was to have fellowship with God and have dominion over the earth. Even human creations are made for a purpose. Right? I'm going to give you a frivolous example. If you're building something and you need to hammer a nail into a couple of pieces of wood, you can use a wrench, can't you? You can use some pliers, sort of. You can use a rock, but a hammer is better. And even better is an air gun. But that, we're going to get off of that. Okay. Okay. All right. But there are so many tasks. And men have made specialized tools for many of them. And I follow Lee Valley on my Facebook page. And they put these tools. Oh, they're so good. They're just designed for one specific task. And oh, I'd love to have that. How often would I use it? Maybe once, but oh, it's so cool, right? These tools are so cool. They're made for a purpose. Well, here's the point. We, like all of creation, were broken by sin. But we were created anew in Christ Jesus for good works. That's our purpose. You see. Before we're a Christian, you can do things that are good, but in God's eyes, they don't measure up because they are so outweighed by your sin. They bring no glory to God. Even if you do things that the Bible calls, if you say you're not a liar, the Bible is very against lying. I don't know if you ever noticed that. It's very against lying. Say you're an honest person, but does that bring any glory to God before you're a Christian? Of course not. The Bible says, even the plowing of the wicked is sin. That means a thing that a guy does that is in itself neutral, if he is not in a right relationship with God, the thing that is neutral in his life is still sin. Like a farmer plowing, is that a moral act? No, it's not. But if you live your life not acknowledging God, it is sin. Doesn't matter what you do. All right, but now I am created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now I don't lie, not because I want people to think well of me, or I want to, you know, get ahead in business and not be a fraud and so on and so forth. No, I want to honor God with my life. And so He is honored by my commitment to His ways. Okay? So we are created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of good works. The original purposes of creation remain. We are created to have fellowship with God, created to have dominion over the earth and all that. But the new purpose of spiritual creation is that good works by sinners are a consequence of the new creation. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We are alive now, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God intended for salvation to produce good works. Number three, God prepared the good works for us to walk in them. And this is quite an interesting statement. These good works, which God prepared beforehand. You think about that. Pre-made good works. So, this word pre-made, in the Greek literature, it refers to a previously prepared supper. Okay, you pre-make it. You know, you go into the, they didn't have this in their mind in the Greek world. Okay, you go into the supermarket and you can go down that freezer aisle and there are pre-made meals. You take them home and you pop them in and they are sort of nutritious. Okay? Right? When I was working shift work, I used to get those sometimes just to, because I didn't want to mess with cooking something. And there it is. So you get, you know, Weight Watcher stuff. You know, there's one of them I liked. I forget who made it. Was chicken tikka masala. Is that how I say it? It was okay-ish. Like, you get it better in a restaurant, but it was okay-ish. It was better than some of the other ones that you get. Prepared ahead of time. Well, okay, these good works that God is talking about here are prepared ahead of time. Okay? They are prepared. Now, notice, okay, God prepared beforehand. When is the beforehand? Well, the implication seems to be before the original creation. This was in God's mind. How are people supposed to live? Well, even at the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, people were supposed to walk in these works. Okay, even Adam and Eve were supposed to walk in these works, walking this prepared path. But of course, man sinned. And so then they fell off the path. And then there's been a mess ever since. And the way back is through Jesus Christ. All right, so what are we talking about in the book of Ephesians that might resemble this path that God prepared beforehand? Well, we start going to chapter 4 and 6. And He starts talking to us about how we should live. So we get doctrine, chapter 1 through 3. Then chapters 4 through 6 is application. How should you live? Well, we have to recognize the one body, the church, and we have to grow together. That's in chapter 4. And then he starts talking about things about putting away lying and talking right to one another and treating one another right. And then he starts meddling with our personal lives, husbands and wives, how we're supposed to live together. This is the works that were prepared beforehand. This is how we're supposed to live. Now he talks about fathers and children. This was prepared beforehand. This path was laid out in God's mind about how we should live. He talks about masters and slaves. Now, I understand we're talking about Paul's writing in the Roman Empire. Remember that. He's not endorsing slavery, but he is teaching how we should live in that kind of relationship. We can make applications to that, to our current world in which we don't have slaves, thank the Lord, but we do have bosses and we do have workers, and we can live according to God's will in those relationships. And later in chapter 6, he talks about standing against the wiles of the devil, the attacks of the devil, and so on. And through, that's the path. We can go through all of the New Testament. We can find passages like this that show us this path that God ordained beforehand. The intention is that Christians walk on this path. The purpose of these prepared and advanced works is not to work in them, but to walk in them. Notice what he says? Which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Even after salvation, it is not so much that we must now do good works, but we must now walk in good works. Now that might be just semantics, but I don't think so. I think it's a subtle change of the way we think. We can read the New Testament for its ethics and we can say, yes, I can see how a righteous person should live. But what happens when you're born again is you have just changed the course of your life. Now, you do not want that old way. You want the new way. You want to live in the new way. You want to walk that path. You want to be the person that puts one foot after another and does what glorifies God for His glory because you're so thankful for what He has done for you in salvation. One of the commentators pointed out that walking is a dominant theme of Ephesians 4 through 6. He gave several references to that. Another commentator says, He intended that we would walk in them like a pedestrian walks along a path. There is a road to follow. There are things that you could do that are not Christian. Don't walk that way. There are things that you must do that God has laid out. Walk that way. Okay, make that your path. And it contrasts, of course, with the old walk. Way back in chapter 2, verse 1, I quoted, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins." It goes on, "in which you formerly walked." You used to walk that way. Now walk this way. Walk this way. Paul's readers no longer walk in sin according to the standards of the world and the prince of the demonic realm, but in the way carefully planned by the Creator for His creation from a time before the world began. So if you are born again, you have a purpose and a path. God did everything in salvation, and it is good. God intended for salvation to produce good works. God prepared His good works for us to walk in them. So, God did everything for you. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you turned your life to Him, you belong to Him now. And the next step now is to throw yourself into knowing Him and living for Him. Find out all the beautiful features of that walk that is laid out before you. Now some people, when we're talking about this Christian walk, some people will object to the teaching of preachers like me and say, "Oh, you are just a legalist. You are too narrow," and so on. And they claim salvation gives them liberty to live their life according to their own ideas. That is not Bible. That is not God's idea. Paul in Romans 6 says, "What? Shall we continue in sin?" I'm messing it up. I'm saying it wrong. Rob and I are trying to memorize this. I can't remember how it finishes. Oh, you got it? There we go. Thank you. Thank you. I needed help. Suddenly, I had a mental block. Rob and I are supposed to say the whole thing in a couple minutes. All right. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? All right. No, he says, God forbid. May it never be. In Greek, it's me genoita. Okay. Not possible to be. Okay. Don't do it. Salvation, the true joy and freedom in salvation is living life for God's glory and God's ways. Don't look for the things in life that most appeal to you. Learn to fall in love with God and His ways and His things and seek to do those things that most appeal to Him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God and the fact that we are created for good works. Lord, I pray that as we walk in them, that we would glorify your name, what you have done for us, how you've changed us, how you made us a new creature. And Lord, I pray that we, by our testimony, we would shine in our community as those who truly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.